I want to share with you from the scriptures now this morning from the Gospel of John, the 20th chapter. John's Gospel, the 20th chapter. It's interesting to me that each of the Gospels records the events of the resurrection. In most of the other stories concerning the life and the ministry of Jesus, one gospel will have the story, another one won't, or a couple of gospels will have the story. But did you know that every gospel doesn't record the birth of Jesus? Mark's gospel does not record his birth. But every gospel records the events of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Because that's the key in the Christian gospel. That's the bottom line. That Jesus died for our sins and was buried, and he rose again. That's the central issue, and that's the central truth. That when he died, he paid the price for our sins. When he rose from the dead, God demonstrated to the entire world that all of the price and the penalty for sins was satisfied. That's the good news. John's Gospel, chapter 20, there's a particular verse here that I want to expound on this morning briefly, and that's why I've chosen this particular account, one of the more familiar ones, and you'll recognize it immediately, I'm sure. Beginning to read at the first verse. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. Now the other disciple is the apostle John. So they both ran together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, and one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turneth herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. I was struck with the instructions that Jesus gave Mary in the 17th verse. When he said to her, don't touch me, I haven't ascended to my Father. But then he gave her a command. He gave her an instruction. And he said, go and say to my brethren, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. He gave Mary a command, and in so doing, I believe he gave a command to the church. The key message of the church is that Jesus is not in the grave. The key message of the church is Jesus rose. Now you see, Buddha died, but he never rose. Confucius died, but he never rose. All of the gods of old have died, but none of them have risen from the dead. For they were ordinary men. Only Jesus is different. Only he died and rose again. And when he gave this message to Mary, he didn't tell her, "Mary, go tell the world about my miracles. Go tell the world about my birth. Go tell the world about my humble life. Go tell the world that I was a servant." He said none of those things. The key message, if he had one message that he wants you and I to tell others, is this. Go and tell them that the grave is empty, that I have risen from the dead, that I have ascended to my Father, that I have purchased your redemption, that I have set men free from their sin, that they are no longer under the power or the bondage of sin. The fact that the grave is empty means that death has no power over them that believe. Go tell the world that I have returned to my Father after finishing the work for which he sent me. That's the mission of the church. Today, I guess, as perhaps I have never seen it quite before, I realize that the one key message that every believer in Christ has is that Jesus has risen from the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 tells us that death is the final enemy. It's the last enemy. And Jesus has already defeated him. Hallelujah. And he has victory over death. You see, for a Christian, one of the most significant fruits in the life of a person who has been born again is that he is no longer afraid to die. If you have fear of death, you haven't met Jesus Christ. If you're afraid or uncertain about death, then you haven't been born again. You're still under bondage. You still have the fear of death. A little later on in the morning service, I'm going to share a little bit more along those lines. But one of the things that I've noticed in dealing with Christians is Christians are not afraid to die because they know that Jesus has already defeated death, and death holds no fear. It holds no power. It holds no anxiety. I know many, many, many people who are professing Christians, who are regular church attenders, givers, servers, ministers in the church, deathly afraid of dying. Don't know what's going to happen to them when they die. You find out about that when you minister to them when they're in the hospitals, when you minister to them when they're sick, and you see the fear that grips them because they don't know what's on the other side of death. But for a Christian, we know Jesus has already accomplished the victory for us. Death is no longer a dreaded enemy. The mission of the church is to tell the world, whether they believe it or not. Jesus said to Mary, "Go and say to my brethren, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. I'm the forerunner. I go to be in the presence of God for you." Tell everybody that. He didn't tell us to require them to believe it. We can't do that anyway. But he said, tell them. Tell them that Jesus arose. Tell them that he's alive. Tell them that you have a personal relationship with him. Tell them that you can talk to him and he talks to you. Tell them that he moves in your life, that he can do things, that he can speak and act because he's not dead, he's alive. That's the message of the Christian church. Well, did Mary do it? In the 18th verse, we see that she was faithful. Here she is, the first evangelist, if you will, after the resurrection. The very first one that had the privilege and the joy of sharing the resurrection of Christ with others. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. In other words, that he was alive. Would you turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians, just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This very familiar passage of Scripture. I'll tell you that if you want to share the gospel with someone and you don't know where to turn in your Bible and you want a brief passage of Scripture that will share the good news and explain the good news to someone, take them to 1 Corinthians 15 and read these verses. Starting to read in the first verse. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you. Here is the gospel now. Here comes the good news, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. This gospel is what produces salvation in you. This good news is what stirs the inner man to believe, and that faith produces salvation. There's power in this message. You say, well, they won't believe me. That is not your responsibility. Your responsibility, as Jesus commanded Mary, was go tell them. You tell them. Whether they believe or not is strictly between them and me. But you speak to them. And there's a wonderful power in this word when you speak it. When you tell somebody this, even though they don't want to believe it, something with deep down within them just stirs. By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. Now here it comes, watch it. How that Christ died for our sins. Say that with me. Christ died for our sins. Say that again. Christ died for our sins. Now let's make that personal and say Christ died for my sins. Christ died for my sins. Say that once again. Christ died for my sins, according to the Scriptures. And that he was buried. Say that he was buried. Once again, he was buried. What does it mean when we say he was buried? Why is that important that we know he was buried? He was really dead. You don't bury a live man. He really died. They buried a dead man. Why is it important that we know that he actually died? Think about it. The wages of sin is, say it, not almost death, not deep suffering, not crucifixion, but death. If Jesus did not die, then the wages of sin were not paid. Are you listening? Christ died for my sins. He was buried. That means he was really dead. He was literally dead. He really paid the price demanded. And that he rose again the third day. Say that with me. He rose again. He rose again. Say it again. He rose again. Sounds good, doesn't it? Feels good to say it too, doesn't it? He rose again. Here's the gospel. Christ died for my sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas and of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep or have died. And after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Now notice in verse 5, he was seen. Verse 6, he was seen. Verse 7, he was seen. Verse 8, he was seen. Say that with me. He was seen. Say it again. He was seen. Why is that important? Eyewitnesses recorded the fact that after he had experienced death, burial, he also experienced new life. On one occasion, over 500 people testified to the fact that they saw him alive. That means that he really and truly rose. He died. He was buried as the confirmation he was dead. He rose. He was seen. That's the confirmation that he arose. He really did rise again. Now jump down with me, please, to the 12th verse. Those first 8 verses now are the gospel. And if you ever have an occasion to share the gospel with someone and you don't know the plan of salvation, how to explain everything, and you don't know very much about your Bible, just remember this one place. For you can give a person all he needs to know in these 8 verses. Verse 12. Now watch the importance of the resurrection. We're thinking about today the important message that Jesus has given the church. And that is that Jesus really rose from the dead. Verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? In other words, if there is no resurrection, Christ could not have risen. And if Christ be not risen, listen to this, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is also vain. Why? Because the price for your sins was not satisfied if Christ didn't rise from the dead. Yea, we are found false witnesses then of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Paul just likes to say the same thing about 4 different ways. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. If you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, literal, bodily, and eternal, then you're still in your sins. If you don't accept the fact that Jesus really rose from that grave, there's no hope for you, no hope for your salvation. The only hope we have is in the resurrection of Christ. Apart from that resurrection, there is no answer to man's sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. In other words, your precious mom and your precious dad and all of those who were faithful church members, they're perished. You won't see them again. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, their sins weren't dealt with. They're eternally lost. Verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. What he's saying is, we don't only have hope in Christ here in this life, but in the next as well. But now watch this. But now is Christ risen from the dead. Regardless of what you think, beloved, he is raised from the dead. And become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. It was a man, Adam, that allowed sin to enter the world, to enter the human race. And it took a man also, Jesus, to deal with sin. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Go and tell my brethren that I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. Go tell everyone that I have risen from the dead. He's alive. Praise God.